Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good. Let me just give you a quick introduction, okay?
Okay.
You're tuned in to The Voice of Vaughn. It's a Sunday night, very nice day. Did a lot of stuff, but now we're going to talk about the state of R&B. I'm joined with a very special guest. This is Christopher Cutter. How are you, Christopher?
I'm doing well. How are you, Super Vaughn?
Doing good. What name are we going to call you tonight?
Because
I know
Move.
You have your aliases.
You can just call me Move.
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 Okay, Move. On the move. So give my listeners a little bit of your background, where are you based, where you used to live, and kind of like what you're into.
Okay, so just a small background, kind of quick. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia originally. I'm now based out of Nashville, Tennessee, where I hang with a conglomerate of like great rappers, artists, and like just overall just really artistic people, from AB the producer to Brian Taylor the singer, Chuck Indigo the rapper and singer. I'm a DJ myself. I recently got into it. A lot of friends kind of like, hey dog, like DJ some of my party. So I was DJing just these past like couple of months, just kind of like low-key stuff, but now I'm gonna go ahead and take it kind of serious, you know, really dive into it. I'm a businessman by day, aspiring DJ by night, so I don't know what else to say.
Very cool. So for those of my listeners who really want to know, I know you have a SoundCloud link where you share a lot of your music and your mixes. What's that link?
Not yet. I'm not gonna put that one up because it's still really raw. Like my stuff is really raw, so like if you want to reach out, feel free to reach out on my Instagram. It's Mad Moves, MADMAUVES, and you can look me up there. I'm very friendly. Feel free to follow. I'll follow back. I'm not like a jerk. I'm like, no, I can care less. The music, so.
Just to let you know, he's being very modest, and he actually has a really good mix. Very nice vibes. I was listening to it at work, and I actually got something done. So I'm just going to say that when you do decide to put that out there, it's going to be hot.
Thank you.
So just to jump right in, I just want to ask you, what's your favorite kind of music? Like, what's your go-to musician that you're listening to right now?
So I have a top three right now, kind of. Actually, no. Today, I've been listening to a lot of, like, albums that fell through the cracks. So, like, the Lance Skywalker album from TDE. Like, I think that album was way before its time. It's kind of, like, experimental going on kind of our topic. They consider it alternative on iTunes, which I think is problematic because I see it just as R&B. It's that album. I'm listening to a little bit of like flips and stuff, a lot of slower music right now. It's getting a little colder, so you definitely got to slow it down.
Classified as alternative R&B or
alternative on like Spotify and Apple Music and all that, but if you look it up, they'll be like, it's alternative R&B.
Okay. And who did you grow up listening to, like in your parents' house, your mom and dad? What was always bumping?
So my mom, she used to always play R. Kelly's, just anything R. Kelly, from you got like Bump and Grind playing, stuff like that. Then my dad, he would always play a good range of things. I remember my first album I ever bought was the Beastie Boys License to Ill. So like I grew up listening to a lot of alternative with my dad and stuff. So he played, you know, the Smiths, like some darker music like that. He played hip hop like Wu-Tang, Outkast, stuff like that. So I grew up with like a good palette, like just different sides of the different sides of spectrums and stuff. So it was really interesting to like when somebody asked me like, what'd you grow up listening to, just like you have before, and I was like, I don't know, like it's hard to answer because I listen to like literally everything. My granddad listened to country, used to hate it as a child. I appreciate it now.
Well, you grew up in the South, so you had no choice but to listen to country, right?
Yeah, I know. It's everywhere down here.
Yeah, black people listen to country, too. Just so you guys know, black people listen to country music. So who's on your current radar? Like, who's the next up-and-coming person that you're like, everybody has to look out for?
Brent Fayaz, that's one. One that's kind of like, this was me going to the, like, fall between the cracks artist. It's a couple more artists that I really like right now. It's one called Choker. He has an album called Peak that's absolutely insane. It fit in that same category, like that alternative R&B, quote unquote. I've been Aiden Smith's album. It's pretty hot. Pretty hot.
Oh, wait, that's out? That's out.
It just dropped Friday. Yeah, it dropped Friday. It's pretty dope. Black Party. The only other artist that's been signed to Childish Gambino's label, Black Party. He is so far ahead of his time, and oh my gosh, his album's great.
And that's out now too.
All of these things that I'm talking about are out now. Black Party, his album's out. Go check out Choker's album. Lance Skywalker's album, obviously, it's been out for like a year, and it was ahead of its time. Like
is
sonically,
Jaden, is Jaden overrated or underrated? That's what I really need to know.
Jaden, he's in a special market. Like hip hop heads don't really put much attention to him, and the new like emo, what like the kids are trying to call like a new emo wave, but emo's been here. They just transformed it to how like Lil Uzi looks now. Like it's still emo, like Marilyn Manson type stuff. It's like. He's not overrated, but he's not underrated. I actually don't even think people are taking him serious enough to rate him. I think he's good, but do I say, like, album of the year? No. Am I gonna bang it? Yeah.
This is his first studio album, right? So, like, we have to give him time to grow.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, I don't want to put a metric to him yet. I'm just like, I'm not gonna say album of the year because I feel like, okay, if I say that, then it's too early to tell. Like he has singles out that are really good, and he has another like mixtape of sorts out. It was a project, but it was interesting how he dropped it. It isn't dropped how he did Sire. But yeah, like it's hard to really tell what his metric is because a couple of the other tracks are like covers. A couple of them are like mixes with, you know, his sister in them. Willow's an amazing artist. She's completely underlooked.
Yeah, she's like Prince. She can play instruments and everything. I mean, she can sing. She can play the guitar. I think she plays the drums. It's
like,
amazing.
She's crazy. Her and I think another really talented artist that does everything. And he has a song called I Do Everything, Masego. Saw him in concert recently. He plays like 20 instruments, sings, raps, makes beats. The guy's insane. Like, it's certain artists that are out that people are like, I don't know who that is, but I'll show them. That's why, actually, I got into DJing recently because I was sitting there. It was an event some of my friends were holding because they're artists. And they're like, bro, can you DJ for me? They're like, you always got, like, the hits. I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I was kind of nervous. I don't really like attention for real. It's interesting. Like, I've moved far from, like, liking attention. And now I'm like,
bullshit.
I do it for the love. You say that because you only know one me. Like I've moved so like I've displaced from like wanting attention so far that I'm just like I want to do it for the love of the music, not like, oh, I'm trying to get famous. And like I DJed the part like a couple of parties, and now I have a gig coming up soon. I'm give further details when it really pans out, but yeah, like it's just I fell into a part where I was like, man, there's a lot of music out that a lot of people don't know. And it's a lot of underground artists like Masego. Like, I didn't know Gold Link was still so undernamed known when Crew went, like, it was the summer hit.
Crew was the best song of this year. And whoever doesn't feel that way can totally fight me. I mean, it was literally a classic from the moment
Thank
I heard
you.
It. That's a song I'm going to be listening to for at least 30 more years. Like, it does not age. They play it on the radio every day, and it just sounds better every time.
I might get married to Crew playing. Look, it's levels. Like, I need me and my wife to walk out there. You see money all around me. But, like, legit, like, I was saying, like, I'm going to the Gold Link concert. And people are like, who? And I was like, do you know the song Crew? And they were like, what's Crew? And then I have to sing it. And I'm like, man, like, I didn't realize people didn't keep up with it. Because Crew is a phenomenal song. But he has other songs on his album that hit just as great. Like, Pray Every Day, Survival's Guilt. Crazy track, but most people just haven't listened to it. So when I played it, when I was DJing, I was playing songs off like albums that are regular albums or albums that might have had a single that really popped. And people are like, man, is this new? And I'm like, no, like this is 2 years old, 3 years old. And people are just like, man, you know, I didn't know that. And you know, people are like, send me the link. So I had to make a set list of the DJ set I did, but it was pretty cool. Like I liked it, you know. And after that, I was like, I think I can do this, like, really just put, like, energy into, like, DJing, because so many people just really mess with the music. I could care less being the face, but I was just more happy that people were trying to come up and like hear more and know more about the music.
That's really dope because you're one of the people that I...
Hello, you all. This is Voice of Vaughn. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. I have a very exciting episode that I want you to check out. It's based in R&B music and really what's going on with the state of it right now. Check it out. Let me know what you think of it. Have a great week.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How about you?
Doing good. Let me just give you a quick introduction, okay?
Okay.
You're tuned in to the Voice of Vaughn. It's a Sunday night, very nice day. Did a lot of stuff, but now we're going to talk about the state of R&B. I'm joined with a very special guest. This is Christopher Cutter. How are you, Christopher?
I'm doing well. How are you, Super Vaughn?
I'm doing good. What name are we going to call you tonight?
Because
I know
Move.
You have your aliases.
You can just call me Move.
Move?
Move.
Okay, Move. On the move. So give my listeners a little bit of your background, where are you based, where you used to live, and kind of like what are you into?
Okay, so just a small background, kind of quick. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia originally. I'm now based out of Nashville, Tennessee, where I hang with a conglomerate of like great rappers, artists, and like just overall just really artistic people, from AB the producer to Brian Taylor the singer, Chuck Indigo the rapper and singer. I'm a DJ myself. I recently got into it. A lot of friends kind of like, hey dog, like DJ some of my party. So I was DJing just these past like couple of months, just kind of like low-key stuff, but now I'm gonna go ahead and take it kind of serious, you know, really dive into it. I'm a businessman by day, aspiring DJ by night, so I don't know what else to say.
Very cool. So for those of my listeners who really want to know, I know you have a SoundCloud link where you share a lot of your music and your mixes. What's that link?
Not yet. I'm not gonna put that one up because it's still really raw. Like my stuff is really raw, so like if you want to reach out, feel free to reach out on my Instagram. It's Mad Moves, MadMauves, and you can look me up there. I'm very friendly, feel free to follow. I'll follow back. I'm not like a jerk. I'm like, no, I don't, I can care less for music. So
just to let you know, he's being very modest and he actually has a really good mix, very nice vibes. I was listening to it at work and I actually got something done, so I'm just gonna say that when you do decide to put that out there, it's gonna be hot.
Thank you.
So yeah, so just to jump right in, I just want to ask you, what's your favorite kind of music? Like, what's your go-to musician that you're listening to right now?
So I have a top three right now, kind of. Actually, no. Today, I've been listening to a lot of, like, albums that fell through the cracks. So, like, the Lance Skywalker album from TDE. Like, I think that album was way before its time. It's kind of, like, experimental album. Going on kind of our topic, they consider it alternative on iTunes, which I think is problematic because I see it just as R&B. It's that album. I'm listening to a little bit of like flips and stuff, a lot of slower music right now. It's getting a little colder, so you definitely got to slow it down. We had enough little Uzi for the summer.
Classified as alternative R&B or alternative?
Alternative on like Spotify and Apple Music and all that, but if you look it up, they'll be like, it's alternative R&B.
Okay. And who did you grow up listening to, like in your parents' house, your mom and dad? What was always bumping?
So my mom, she used to always play R. Kelly's, just anything R. Kelly, from you got like Bump and Grind playing, stuff like that. Then my dad, he would always play a good range of things. I remember my first album I ever bought was the Beastie Boys' License to Ill. So like I grew up listening to a lot of alternative with my dad and stuff, so he played, you know, the Smiths, like some darker music like that. He played hip-hop like Wu-Tang, Outkast, stuff like that. So I grew up with like a good palette, like just different sides of the spectrums and stuff. So it was really interesting, like when somebody asked me, like, what'd you grow up listening to, just like you have before, and I was like, I don't know, like it's hard to answer because I listen to literally everything. My granddad listened to country, used to hate it as a child. I appreciate it now.
Well, you grew up in the South, so you had no choice but to listen to country, right?
Yeah, no, It's everywhere down here.
Yeah, black people listen to country too. Just so you guys know, black people listen to country music. So who's on your current radar? Like, who's the next up-and-coming person that you're like, everybody has to look out for?
Brent Fayaz, that's one. One that's kind of like, this was me going to the like fall between the cracks artist. It's a couple more artists that I really like right now. It's one called Choker. He has an album called Peak that's absolutely insane. It fit in that same category. Be a little bit bigger too. She dropped weight, stopped wearing such baggy clothes, and started wearing some more like tight fitting stuff. And like, if she still dressed how she used to dress in like the big overalls, the Chuck Taylors, and the really big tees, I don't think her album would have, it would have done great because it's a great album. It still would have sounded absolutely amazing. But I don't think as many people would have paid attention to like, oh, she's fun. Jasmine Sullivan is absolutely gorgeous. Guys need to quit sleeping on her. She is fun, man. And like down to her song Let It Burn, like I think that could have easily been cookout song of the year. Easily cookout song of the year. Let It Burn, she dropped, I want to say like last year, year before, one and two, and like it's such a good song, but she gets overlooked because she's a bigger girl.
So pretty much we're still a very visual society and you gotta look hot no matter what.
Yeah, I talked to somebody about the same thing with Nicki Minaj. I was like, Nicki Minaj was a dope rapper before she put all like the injections in. Soon as she got the injections, her wax stuff is good now. Just because you got a vision. Like she just blew the internet up recently with the menage a trois. Like picture thing. I was like, if she was still her old size, like well, she was just like a normal girl size and she was just like a regular looking girl, I don't think she would have like boomed off. I'm like, oh, you know, they're talking about it for a week, but the fact that she's now thick, she's like has big breasts,
it's
she
that
has
old
these
concept
cool lips.
It's that old concept, the women have to want to be you and the men have to want to sleep with you.
Yes,
and that's the motto.
Yes, I think that's it's terrible. I really think that's terrible that like a lot of people are still putting a lot of metrics like this person looks good so I need to listen. I'm gonna be honest, it's some artists out here, their aesthetic looks great, music is terrible.
So drop a name.
Oh, this
you
is
drop a name.
Okay. I'll go with one a lot of people mess with, like NBA YoungBoy. He looks like the NBA team and Moneybagg Yo. Like Moneybagg Yo is making street bangers. I give him his. The music's not anything that we haven't heard before. It's not anything life changing. It's not even anything that's just like, man, you know, this is something new. This is something, you know, exciting. He just got that persona.
My feelings are hurt now.
He got like the face. No, he got like the face tattoos and stuff. He has the look like hood dude, but I know I'm still gonna hear his song come on the radio and I'm like, I've heard it before, but I'm a rock with it. I'm a nod with it or whatever. But if I'm in like my, I'm sitting down to really analyze music, it's like garbage because it's stuff that people tell me like, oh, I didn't like Frank Ocean's Blonde. I was like, Frank Ocean's Blonde is genius. At the song Nights, when it has that shift, it shifts the tense from like the feminine to the masculine. That's why the album has the E, but you have the vinyl that doesn't have an E on it with the Blonde. And it has like the masculine, feminine plays. And then like he says stuff in his album like, no white lighters till I F my 28th up, just to like give homage to the 27 Club with them dying with a white lighter in their front pocket. It's like small stuff that he does in music where I sit down, like if I'm analyzing music, it's so many gems in it that I'm like, man, like nobody caught that really. And then I talk to people about it and I like try to reach out to like the music community and some people will hear it and some people like, oh, no, I totally didn't think about that, but I don't really get that with Moneybagg Yo. Can he make a banger? He can make a good song. Is it something that I'm going to put on in 2 years? Probably not.
Well, I'm sure he'll be in Nashville soon to fight you. So.
Look, I'm going to hear it and, you know, I'm just like reminiscing. I'm like, man, I remember this was a hit right here. You know, this was a little banger. This had my summer popping. It didn't have my winter going, but
dang. Okay, we're going to stop shooting now. Please stop shooting.
I mess with him though. No disrespect to him. I still, like I said,
no disrespect.
I still got some missed tracks in my phone. Like I said, but when it comes to now, like this is just the truth. Like it's not anything I haven't heard before. It's not anything bad, but it's not great.
Please,
it's not
stop
anything life breaking.
Please stop shooting.
I'm sorry.
We switch gears. Let the man live, please. He got a family.
He still can make a hit. Give him his.
Okay, so alternative R&B, that's the new wave, but is it a trend? Do you see this lasting? The whole Daniel Caesar, Miguel Caesar, is this going to last?
I'm so sad that they changed Daniel Caesar and Miguel into alternative R&B, because they've always been R&B from Miguel's first album. He's always been like R&B, and before they used to list it as alternative, like on, I want to say, it might still be on there as Amazon like Music, because I remember when I first downloaded that. And oh my gosh, this album's great.
And that's out now too.
All of these things I'm talking about are out now. Black Party, his album's out. Go check out Choker's album. Lance Skywalker's album, obviously. It's been out for like a year. And it was ahead of its time. Like sonically.
Is Jaden overrated or underrated? That's what I really need to know.
Jaden's in a special market. Like, hip hop heads don't really put much attention to him. And the new like emo, what like kids are trying to call it, like a new emo wave, but emo's been here. They just transformed it to how like Lil Uzi looks now. Like, it's still emo, like Marilyn Manson type stuff. It's like, he's not overrated, but he's not underrated. I actually don't even think people are taking him serious enough to rate him. I think he's good, but do I say like album of the year? No. Am I gonna bang it? Yeah.
This is his first studio album, right? So like, we have to give him time to grow.
Exactly. And that's why I was like, I don't want to put a metric to him yet. I'm just like, I'm not gonna say album of the year, because I feel like, okay, if I say that, then it's too early to tell. Like, he has singles out that are really good, and he has another like mixtape of sorts out. It was a project, but it was interesting how he dropped it. It isn't dropped how he did Sign, but yeah, like, it's hard to really tell what his metric is, because a couple of the other tracks are like covers. A couple of them are like mixes with, you know, his sister in them. Willow's an amazing artist. She's completely underlooked.
Yeah, she's like Prince. She can play instruments and everything. I mean, she can sing. She can play the guitar. I think she plays the drums. It's
like,
amazing.
She's crazy. Her and I think another really talented artist that does everything. And he has a song called I Do Everything, Masego. Saw him in concert recently. He plays like 20 instruments, sings, raps, makes beats. The guy's insane. Like, it's certain artists that are out that people are like, I don't know who that is, but I'll show them. That's why actually I got into DJing recently, because I was sitting there. It was an event some of my friends were holding, because they're artists. And they're like, bro, can you DJ for me? They're like, you always got like the hits. I was like, man, I don't know. Like, I was kind of nervous. I don't really like attention for real. It's interesting. Like, I've moved far from like liking attention. And now I'm like,
bullshit.
I do it for the love. You say that because you only know one me. Like, I've moved so, like, I've displaced from like wanting attention so far that I'm just like, I want to do it for the love of the music, not like, oh, I'm trying to get famous. And like, I DJed the bar, like a couple of parties, and now I have a gig coming up soon. I'm give further details when it really pans out, but yeah, like, it's just, I fell into a part where I was like, man, there's a lot of music out there that a lot of people don't know. And it's a lot of underground artists like Masego. Like, I didn't know Gold Link was still so undernamed known when Crew went, like, it was the summer hit.
Crew was the best song of this year. And whoever doesn't feel that way can totally fight me. I mean, it was literally a classic from the moment
Thank
I heard
you.
It. That's a song I'm going to be listening to for at least 30 more years. Like, it does not age. They play it on the radio every day, and it just sounds better every time.
I might get married to Crew playing. Look, this it's levels. Like, I need me and my wife to walk out there. You see money all around me. But like, legit, like, I was saying, like, I'm going to a Golden concert. People are like, who? And I was like, do you know the song Crew? And they're like, what's Crew? And then I have to sing it. And I'm like, man, like, I didn't realize people didn't keep up with it, because Crew is a phenomenal song, but he has other songs on his album that hit just as great. Like, Pray Every Day, Survival's Guilt. Crazy track, but most people just haven't listened to it. So when I played it, when I was DJing, I was playing songs off like albums that are regular albums or albums that might have had a single that really popped, And people are like, man, is this new? And I'm like, no, like, this is 2 years old, 3 years old. And people are just like, man, you know, I didn't know that. And, you know, people are like, send me the link, send me the link. So I had to make a set list of the DJ set I did. But it was pretty cool. Like, I liked it, you know. And after that, I was like, I think I can do this. Like, really just put, like, energy into, like, DJing. Because so many people just really mess with the music. I could care less being the face, but I was just more happy that people were trying to come up and, like, hear more and know more about the music.
That's really dope, because you're one of the people that I know looks and searches for new music that sounds great. And a lot of us, I know myself, full-time job, I don't have time to go find the music. So you're kind of like the gateway. And whenever your next show is, definitely drop that information on Instagram, because I know people are definitely going to want to check that out. But going back to crew, I want to ask you, this has been a topic of debate, who has... the best verse on crew. Who made that song to you?
Shy Glizzy had the hypest verse in terms of like hitting me, like personally. I gotta say Gold Link, because Gold Link is like my favorite rapper. Funny enough, Brent Faiyaz, the one I was talking about earlier, sings the hook for the song. He's the one singing that You See Money All Around Me, like his album. Crazy. And he's in a group called Sonda too, but I think definitely Gold Link's album gets it for me, just because I've been such a Gold Link fan for so long. And just like the whole way he led up to get to crew, and like from his old albums, it kind of leads up to crew still. Like his the God Complex album leads into And After That We Didn't Talk, and After That We Didn't Talk leads into At What Cost to a Degree. And it's just like seeing the evolution. Like I love Shy Glizzy. He's El Jefe. I mess with him. I give him his props. But Gold Link's verse still just gets me. Exactly. Like, you can't not say it when you hear Jefe. Like, always think of, like, Jefe, and I'm like, Shy Glizzy took, like, the boss title from Young Jeezy.
Mm. That's scary.
Like, Jeezy had the whole SL Mundo, like, it's the world and all of this, but I was like, Shy Glizzy really capitalized on like that boss type persona for his music.
He definitely embodies like his flow and everything. It goes with the title. Dare I say more than Jeezy? I feel like, you know, Jeezy is Jeezy in his own right, but that title.
I think he needs to stick to the snowman. Jefe is more Shy Glizzy. I agree. Boss is Shy Glizzy's persona.
That's him, and he owns it. So let's jump into this interview that Stephanie Mills, if you don't know Stephanie Mills, I can't help. Tune out. Okay, she's making all the music. She laid the format for what you're listening to right now. So she did an interview not too long ago, about 5 days ago, and she pretty much sounded off about the state of R&B and how it's been whitewashed. And I'll just read a little bit of the quote to you. It was with Sister Circle. She stated that they want R&B, but they don't want it from us. They want it from Adele and from Justin Timberlake and those people. So I just thought that was so interesting. And it really reminds me of how the NFL is going to have Justin Timberlake perform, and how it was this whole big thing of Janet Jackson being banned for all this controversy for so long, and how there is a sort of whitewashing in the industry. And I really wanted to ask you, what did you think of that? Do you feel like there's a whitewashing of so-called black music in the industry and mainstream?
I definitely think it's like, it's honestly just an American thing. Like, they're really like, they love a lot of what our culture does, but will definitely be okay if they could kind of take it over and make it their own and then be like, oh, we started it. Like gentrification. Like, I'm in Nashville right now. Oh my gosh, it is so gentrified here. I'll ride through like an area that people are like, oh, it's rough over there. And I'm like, really? I was like, I'm riding through there and I seen like people walking their dogs and, you know, everybody just out looking merry. Mm. It was like, oh, you know, 2 years ago, it looked nothing like that. And I was just like, they understand, like, it's a market. R&B is R&B. It's always going to touch your soul. That rhythm is something crazy. Like, coming on to Like, I talked to a friend earlier today about, like, Adele, because I, like, looked at it and I watched the video. I was like, man, it's true. Like, I loved Adele's album, but I didn't realize Adele kind of sung the same album, the last two albums.
Mm.
Just a couple of different beats. Like, it didn't get creative and funky. Like, Bootsy Collins just dropped another album two weeks ago, and it still sonically sounds different. Like, every Bootsy is different. He still goes in, like, R&B. And he has a song, Kali Uchis, that's like, it embodies like that 80s funk R&B type music, and it's 2017, and I was like, look, I could see myself in some bell bottoms and and some stacks, like, dancing to this. And somebody thought it was like funny. I was like, it's the truth. Like,
that's crazy though. Bootsy Collins dropped an album, and where is the promotion for it? It's making absolutely no noise. But if you have someone like Justin Bieber or Selena Gomez, if they release an album,
Facebook has it up. That's how crazy.
Exactly.
It is. Like,
it's
the biggest corporations have it.
That's crazy.
I can definitely, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Bootsy Collins is arguably the foundation of most of this R&B coming out now. Like, he set a foundation for people like Rick James and stuff to really flourish. Like, he was really off ball. Like, Bootsy is really off ball. When you see him, you kind of like, this is Bootsy Collins, but he just was really off bar. So you had the Rick James flourish, you had Cameo flourish with the song Candy, wearing a red jockstrap. So all these artists that flourished and set these foundations that you hear now, like Jacquees redid a Candy song. And then from there, you hear all these new artists, like the new Candy Rains and stuff coming out. And all these songs, I'm like, man, the foundation was laid by all these great fundamental Black artists, but most people, they don't know,
but
they
where
didn't
are
promote
they?
It. Exactly, they didn't get promoted. So you hear all these songs, they hit the radio now, and then 6 weeks later, I'll listen to a song. I'm so invested in music, I'll listen to like a Justin Bieber song and know exactly where he stole the sample.
Stole. You coming out?
Because
yeah,
it's no credit. It's no credit thrown in there. They might like shoot. Party Next Door is writing a bunch of artist hits right now. He's out here writing hits. He wrote Sex With Me. He wrote Legend by Drake. He's been out here writing hits, but he's not getting the credit.
So wait, does it help? Does it help if an artist like Justin Timberlake or Adele does R&B or does a hip-hop funk soul beat and then pay homage to the person that they got that idea from? Does that make it better?
I don't think it makes it better in any respect. I think they should honestly let them like flourish and be like, put the artist on instead of like take it and be like, well, I'm gonna pay homage. Like, no, bring the artist on a tour with you. You know you want to steal it. I'm sure next they gonna try to come for Bruno Mars. Bruno Mars just did a whole like 80s funk album that realistically stole from like 40 artists. Like, shoot, Party Next Door helped write that. That's What I Like, and I'm saying, and that's the thing, like. They're gonna make these hits, and then it's gonna be stolen in 6 years, a year. I guarantee you, That's What I Like will be remade in a different form or function with the same beat pattern, the same metronome. Like, it'll use nearly everything the same, but another artist will come whitewashing and like making it something, and they're gonna go like viral for it, and then they're gonna get some whack like record deal, come out with two or three singles, last for 6 months, because it's not their market. It's not their number one. That's why, honestly, Justin Bieber's best piece of work was Journals to me, even though when he did Journals, he whitewashed a cult. He took the culture through there. Justin Bieber stole everything R&B. He had R. Kelly on there, Chance, and he was like, quote unquote, paying homage, but no, he was putting himself on.
So going back to Bruno Mars, I did see an article where Bruno Mars was getting criticized for people pretty much saying the same thing, saying that he came out the gate and pretty much stole that 80s funk vibe. And I just wanted to know, like, if a Black person came out and did that same album, would it even get the same heat? And do Black people even support each other enough to make that album as popular as it would be if a Bruno Mars or an Adele did it?
I think Black people don't recognize a lot of times what they have at their hands. Like, Khalid, we have a special thing in our hands because he honestly did the opposite. Think about those like Motown songs that were stolen before, like these diner songs is what I'll call them, what you think of when you think of diner, you know, people eating, sitting like that, that happy singing. Mm-hmm. like
doo-wop.
But doo-wop, I credit still to black people because that's more blues, like the commercial doo-wop when it got like whitewashed. When doo-wop got whitewashed, you know how like Khalid's doing this whole American teen thing?
Right.
I think he's taking it back over in his own sense. And I bought his vinyl. I bought vinyls like crazy. I bought his vinyl just because I was like, it's nearly genius of his marketing. Whatever his team like thought of, like, hey, let's turn this American teen into something, because he's realistically only, what, 19?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing something that was done, like, correctly already. It lived its own life. It ended gracefully. It's respected, well-respected. And he came back and recreated it in 2017, and it took off.
He's doing great. He's, like, totally mainstream, but still retaining his roots.
Yeah, like...
in the culture.
Location is an R&B track to its T, but the instruments they use could be used from doo-wop. Like, it's really interesting. Like, he doesn't use a lot of 808s and snares to, like, do his R&B. He uses a lot of, like, regular instrumentation. Like, he went and performed, I want to say Location, with one person doing like a guitar and somebody like a, I don't even think he had drums up there.
He's on but that he Logic does, song, right? That new
yeah.
Logic song?
That was crazy. He's out here working, and I give him his because he's kind of taking it back quietly and nobody's recognizing it as what it is, but I was like, man, this is pretty genius, you know?
I feel like you know his voice, but you don't know the face and the name yet.
Yeah, and he, his team got to work on the hair, man. I don't know what's up with his hair. That's the only thing I can... I'm a fan of it, but, like, he looks much older than, like, a teen. Because they're going with, like, the American teen. Like, he looks like a full-blown adult. He has, like, a huge Rick Ross beard, like, high hair. And that's teen, the high hair. But, like, the big beard, I'm like, man, like...
He definitely looks 40.
Yeah, he looks older.
He definitely looks 40. He looks 40. Strong he 37.
Old. Yeah. He looks like he's aged. He's a seasoned vet, and he's going with the American teen thing. Like, I love the sweaters and stuff, the, you know, vintage jackets that they're doing. I love the marketing there, but, like, you know, give him a goatee or something.
A little something.
Yeah, make him look a little young.
Get a barber in here. Get a stylist. Help this man out.
Take a couple of years off with the American teen look.
So let me ask you, is it wrong for people like Adele and Sam Smith to sing so-called black music? Is that wrong?
I'm going to keep it a bean with you. I didn't even listen to Sam Smith's album. You know what I did? I sat down. No, I played it. When I say, like, listen to it, I mean, like, sat down, analyzed, did how I did Frank Ocean's Blonde and went through, like, bar to bar, like, going through the process. I listened to it, and I was like, this is what I expected. And someone was like, what you mean? I was like, he stole Latch from Party Next Door. It's the same exact beat. Sex on the Beach is Party Next Door's beat. And then he did Latch. And then Disclosure honestly took it from him. I was like, that's three white artists in one play from one black person. At what point do we got to recognize, like, they out here stealing. Now, granted, Rihanna did a play kind of the same way, but I think they partnered together. Tame Impala and Rihanna released the same exact song.
Oh my God. I was shook when I listened to the original song. I was like, wow.
They released a month apart from each other. Yeah.
They didn't change.
None of the lyrics are different. It's the same thing. And I'm like, most people like, I didn't know that. I was like, I listened to that much music. And that's, I think that's what gives me a lot of like love for it, because I listen to across genres. So when Tame Impala dropped their album, and I listened to it all the way through. I love that song so much. And then I heard it playing on Donald Glover's Atlanta commercial. I was like, oh, it's Tame Impala. Someone was like, no, that's Rihanna. I was like,
feel like a brand new person.
Exactly. And they sung it first. And I was like, I think they partnered together because she credits them to it.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she did credit them, like, in the credits for the song. Their name is there, like, Tame Impala. An original by Tame Impala is what's on.
Yeah, she definitely did not try to steal it. Say,
but Sam Smith, definitely didn't put that like down in the credits. Party Next Door made the beat first. Like it Sex on the Beach isn't a reference there.
No, this is news to me. So you're dropping knowledge right now. You're spilling tea.
Like it's legit. Like go listen to Party Next Door Party 2 album. Party Next Door 2. And it's the third track on the album. Sex on the Beach is Party Next Door song. You play that and then play Sam Smith's Latch with Disclosure. It's the same exact beat.
Okay, we gonna out Sam Smith. He'll never set foot in America again. So Cotter, tell me, what is black music and who has ownership over it?
Black music is always gonna be black owned, black brand, black mentally established. Like, yeah, we might get caught in like those Lauryn Hill deals, but we'll always own the soul of it. I think honestly the people who own it is black soul. Like being able to, you can't recreate it no matter how with the cause you are. You can never recreate it unless you really got that feeling. And even some of us are a little displaced. Like not everybody's an artist, I'll be honest. We just gotta call it what it is. But some people really got it. You got that real soul. Like you've been blessed to have the appreciation and the experiences to really make like dope music, from Khalid to Party Next Door to just everybody, Choker to Brent Fayaz, and just to all these artists that can make such great music. Like Brent Fayaz is in two groups at once. He's a solo artist and he's in a group called Sonder. And if you listen to the music, they're different styles, but they have a still the melodic tense of that, you know, Brent Fayaz put his soul into.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know he put him into it. And only people who can create that are the people who are the source.
Does black music have to have, I hate to say it, but the pain and the experience behind it to truly connect that vision to the audience?
I don't think it has to. Like I said, Khalid's doing an interesting take on it. Like Location's a love song to like be happy, but you also got his number save song where he's talking about he loved her all this time and he's keeping her number saved so he can ignore her. Like, I think it just honestly depends on what the artist's niche is. Like Bryson Tiller's, he's saying he's not making side dude music, but it's rich. Them lines is thin.
No, he definitely he knows like, what he's doing.
he has a great market he tapped into. I tell him keep tapping it. It's a great place to be because it's a lot in a culture of nearly, not a culture, but a time of infidelity where like, we're such a fast-paced culture of people. Like, our generation is really fast-paced. Everything's nearly instant gratification. He found that one market that fits every spectrum. Don't is like that. I need that late night. Like, I want to call it love. But we going to call it love for now type stuff. And I'm trying to get you over your ex. So what's good?
He is stuff. To side dudes what SZA is to side chicks.
Hold on, SZA just became a side chick. I thought that was such a change. Like, her music changed so drastically from Z to Control.
In what way?
Lyrical content. She still has some of those tracks on there. Like, my favorite song on the album is Normal Girl. But nobody will be like, oh, I know Normal Girl lyrics. And Normal Girl, I felt like, was so rooted in, like, her. Like, Babylon with Kendrick Lamar. Teen Spirit that she like released the single for long, like those I think are like SZA's like highlights. And most people like, wow, it's like the song with Chance and Wild Warm Winds with Isaiah Rashad is crazy great of a song because she was just like herself. She embodied just being like the weirdo of the crowd. That's my supermodel is my favorite song off the album, other than Normal Girl, because just like she's embodying who she is. She's like, I know I'm not the most beautiful girl to somebody, but you can make me your supermodel. Like, I think that's a genius, like, idea.
That's beautiful.
I can be your Naomi Campbell, your Pam Grier. I can be your absolute, like, gem.
Shout out to the 90s supermodels. Shout out.
Right? They don't know Pam Grier's be one of the finest women on earth for a while. Before Holly Berry, there was Pam Grier. Let's get that out.
Every time I say that name around my dad, his eyes bugging out. So let's keep moving. I don't need to see my dad like that. It's too much.
He getting to a mild sweat at the kitchen table.
He does. Reminiscing, thinking. I'm like, dad, let's keep it going.
But legit, like her saying that, you know, I can be your supermodel if you believe. I think that's beautiful because it's more than just saying like, oh, I look good. Be a supermodel. You got to be like everything.
Mm-hmm.
You got to live that persona.
So why do people like, because a lot of the times in the industry, we say that colorism is a thing that holds certain artists back, and that is real and that's alive. And I'm not going to discard that or discount that at all. But why is it that people like SZA, which is a brown-skinned black woman, make it, and people like Jasmine Sullivan, with all her grand and all her talent, not really cross over to the mainstream?
SZA is on a great team, I'll be honest. She's on, after Kendrick Lamar, like, if you're on anything Kendrick Lamar right now, just because of how great of a rapper he is, people are paying attention, which is why I'm like, Lance Skywalker, his album is the one that fell between the cracks. And just like hearing SZA's name right now, you think of TDE. And you also got to think, I said before, those other albums, Z, where you got like old stuff that isn't on, like she's wearing control panties in a video and she's wearing like lingerie and looking like a sex symbol. She didn't personify sex before, so most people didn't really catch on. Like most people didn't like pay attention. But when SZA had this, like she dropped weight, I'm beyond, she. It was Alternative, Miguel's first album. And Daniel Caesar's like singles used to be listed as Alternative. Shoot, even down to Kevin Abstract, when I first downloaded his album in Apple Music, it was Alternative. And then they changed it over to R&B and Soul. And I was like they're, I think people are trying, mainstream people are trying to shift a culture with this whole like alternative R&B term to kind of get people out the mind state that it's R&B. And they want to make
a whitewashing?
Yes, they're trying to make a niche market for it so they can then come in and kind of like alternatively change it over and be like, well, it's not R&B. It's not supposed to be catered to, you know, the black community. But it has some R&B hits of it, you know. Like they're trying to get away from pop because pop is dying. Pop is dead, nearly. I'm gonna say
hip-hop,
nearly because
hip hop is the new pop.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like with hip hop making so, like with the change of 808s and Heartbreak, changing hip hop's like boom clap eras to where you needed like a hard boom clap to now you can use 808s like Lil Uzi and sauce it up. Do too much. Like that could be a pop song. It's all 808s. It's not like drum claps and snares. It's, you know, he's just living in like that pop range. It can be a pop song, but they call it R&B. I mean, hip hop. Cause look at Lil Uzi. Do you want him? Do you want him in your like prestigious club of pop artists, which are Justin Bieber's, your kind people that are making it on the kids' pop album?
Justin Bieber wants him there.
Like the kid, are you putting Lil Uzi on kids' bop, like censoring him out? All my friends are. Like you can't censor.
They're gonna change it to "All My Friends Are Cool."
Yeah, I can't think of a censor.
All my friends
to,
are cool in school.
Yeah, like it, that's where like the pop is, and like they're trying to change that pop term to like it's alternative R&B now. And it's we see R&B took off and with the full range, like they should just keep these as R&B, like Kevin Abstract's album should have been like R&B all the way through because it goes through like, yeah, it goes through the waves, but he's singing like rhythm and blues.
So what artist embodies and what point in history was the true form of R&B in your opinion?
The truest form was the 90s. I'm sorry. R. Kelly was like R. Kelly and the Isley Brothers were like Ronald Isley, R. Kelly had a good like soap opera time. Mid to late 90s, early 2000s. Like it's kind of a cheat because I still want to get like that late Ronald Isley when he was wearing the jersey with the mink coat. like, you know, that whole little range, that 10-year range from 93 to 03.
Even though it's a spinoff for me, I gotta say the New Jack Swing era is like,
ooh,
R&B.
Yes. Yes, I can rock with that. Definitely. Like, it's crazy because they made a whole new, like, classification of music now, like house and stuff now, and world to segue off of reggae, because they whitewashed reggae for a while and call it world now. And I was like, what is world?
And what's world music like India?
Yeah, I was like, what is world? And just like they're starting to do it now with R&B. I don't think they'll ever be able to do hip hop. Well, they pop kind of tried to, but pop didn't stick like hip hop stuck. Like, I couldn't picture the Backstreet Boys singing, I couldn't picture the Backstreet Boys singing or rapping along to like a Dipset track.
Oh no, that'd be terrible. That'd be horrible.
So they couldn't go in and like niche market and like take the whole like persona of Bryson Tiller. Like they could take a Bryson Tiller and turn it into like a Justin Bieber. Him and Justin Bieber could go. Like Post Malone is definitely infringing on the culture in a lot of ways. Love his music. His album was crazy good, but I can definitely say you started out as a country artist, I believe.
He definitely, after his first album, he definitely stated that he wanted to try his hand at country music, but he came back out with an album that was a little bit more influenced in hip-hop, because I think it was too much of a departure right now. But I think
he started country, though. He started, like, that whole trolling music, you know, wearing the short shorts with the cowboy hat and the cowboy boots and the beard flat. Like, he started his career as a country cover artist, I believe, and then transcended into White Iverson. And from there, he made Stony, which has like some of the best hits off Stony are rap songs. Like Big Lie, No Option, those are rap tracks. Easy rap tracks. But you know, he got some hits on there, like, you know, it's a country.
Platinum,
yeah, that's a rap. You got 21 Savage. Come on now, 21 Savage.
Doesn't get more rap than that. Huh?
His R&B songs are rap songs. Like, and yeah, he's definitely on. He infringed the, like, he broke in and found a little niche. You know, he was that one in between the cracks that you get you one every now and again. I think the only person who realistically embodied the culture and like in like was like, hey, the culture is a culture. I'm just a guest. I'm an invited guest at the table. Eminem. And he did it because he got to the purest form of rap, battle rapping.
Like, he fought his way in, literally.
Exactly. He had to show I got bars. You know, I understand I'm a guest at the table, but I know how to cook too.
He does. So what's the new music that's coming up in the future that we can keep our eye on and add to our Spotify playlists?
All right. So some new music coming up. Who's coming out soon? I know Saha just dropped his album. I think they waited too long to drop his album. Listen, if you haven't heard Brahana's song, Janet is B-E-R-H-A-N-A. That's his name, but he has a song called Janet and a song called Grey Love. L-U-H, but it's like Grey Love. It's like a play on that. Lay Center, he just dropped an album. He's another person under the raps. Dave B just dropped an album, Pearl. Really good. These are like the stuff that's coming out. No Worries, Anderson .Paak, and Knowledge just dropped the Yes Lord remixes. Yes Lord. it's a couple of things that just dropped that are like, your playlist will be fine. If you want to reach out to me like today, tomorrow, anytime soon, to just like, hey, what do you have new? Like, my friends are like, God, I need some heat. I have a lot of new music as of Friday, and I got a couple like playlists in my pocket ready to throw away.
Drop your information one more time so we can have that on hand.
Most definitely, most definitely. I'm going by the name Moves now, but Moves is spelled like the color Move, M-A-U-V-E. But my name on Instagram is Mad Moves, M-A-D-M-A-U-V-E-S. Feel free to follow. I definitely follow back, like I said before. I got a lot coming that's like playlist wise, so like definitely be on the lookout for that. I'm just about to start like doing a lot of like my old throwaways that I made like a year ago and just start releasing them like crazy. I might try to do one like starting from Thursday until like next Monday, because Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. So just to bring in some good cheer, you could slap a little good vibes going. Feel free to like reach out, like I said before, follow. I'll definitely follow back. I have no problem doing so. Look me up. We can talk music. I'm always down to talk music. The music lives no matter what. So definitely feel free to reach out.
This is our music guy. He absolutely loves it in every way. He's open to new ways. And I thank you so much for just taking the time to come on here and chat it up for
us. Oh, it's no problem at all. I appreciate you having me, Super Vaughn.
No problem. What's your name?
Yeah, Moose. There we go.
Okay, Moose. Thank you so much. You have a beautiful week.
You have a great week.
Voice of Vaughn.